Fire Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today, we have a very special guest on the line, Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo. She is a functional medicine doctor. Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo is passionately committed to transforming our current broken disease care system into a true healthcare system, where each and every practitioner is skilled at finding the root cause of health challenges and using ancient healing wisdom married with modern scientific research to restore balance. As the founder of the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology, Dr. Rita Marie specializes in using the wisdom of nature to restore balance to hormones with a special emphasis on thyroid, adrenal, and insulin imbalances. Her practitioner training programs empower health and nutrition practitioners to get to the root cause of using functional assessments and natural therapeutics to balance the endocrine system, the master controller. Dr. Rita Marie is a licensed doctor of chiropractic with certifications in acupuncture, nutrition, herbal medicine, and heart math. She's also a certified living foods chef, instructor, and coach, and she has trained and certified hundreds of others in the art of using palate-pleasing whole fresh food as medicine. A best-selling author, speaker, and internationally recognized nutrition and women's health authority with over 23 years of clinical experience, Dr. Rita Marie offers online courses, long-distance coaching, and counseling, and deeply empowering and informative live events. Her wildly popular practitioner certification program empowers health and wellness professionals to unravel the mystery of their clients' complex health challenges so they become known as go-to practitioners for true healing and lasting results. Welcome and thanks for being on the show, Dr. Rita Marie.
I'm so excited to be here, Jeremy. Thanks for inviting me.
That was quite a bio. That was a mouthful.
Yep.
Yeah, the more I learn about your work, the more excited I get to be getting the chance to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I think that the topics that you bring are so valuable in our world today, and the way that our food ecosystem has been affected by all of the factors, and we all could use a little more education on how to navigate our way through that system and how we eat and what we introduce into our bodies and then how to work with our bodies in the meantime.
Right.
So let me ask you just a quick high-level question, and that's curious if there was a time in your life where rather than getting beat down by the wave of change, you got up and rode that wave. In other words, was there a pivotal moment for you that created the inspired change that led you down this path of transforming your life with health and nutrition?
Yes, indeed. Like so many of us in this field, we don't come here by accident, or we don't come here because the career counselor came to us in college and said, hey, this is a good career path. Generally, it's through a health challenge or a tragedy in the family. And for me, it was both, actually. But it was that pivotal moment was when I remember this distinctly. I'd been dealing with some health challenges, been to all the conventional doctors, you know, was given Valium for the headaches and steroids for the nasal stuff and ulcer medication for my stomach stuff. And nobody could do anything with the brain fog because they had no idea what I was talking about. And the exhaustion, they just told me to, you know, drink caffeine. And so I was sitting there in the gastroenterologist's office, and he'd done a test to see it. He already put me on the ulcer medication, but he did a test to see if I actually had an ulcer. And he came back and he said, well, the good news is there's no ulcer. And I was like, great. That's so great. What is it? And what do I do? He goes, we don't know. Just keep taking the ulcer medication. And at that point, my jaw dropped. And I said, there's got to be some other answer. And I looked him in the eye and I said, could it be my diet? And he looked back at me and he laughed and said, oh, don't be so silly. Just take the ulcer medication, drink lots of milk, eat lots of ice cream, and you'll be fine. And I walked out of that office shaking my head and determined to find a solution. And that's when I just started researching. I went to the library because it was long before the internet. Went to the library, you know, stacks and stacks of books, go to the bookstore, stacks and stacks of books, and just self-educated myself about nutrition and diet and emotions and stress and all the things that I now teach, and got myself well in spite of having been to many medical doctors. And it, but it took a while. It took a couple of years for me to, you know, put it all together and find it. Because remember, that was back before the internet, back before you couldn't Google your symptoms and find, you know, 300 solutions. So I had to figure it all out myself. And I was so determined that other people didn't have to go through what I went through. And I was so impressed with the results I'd gotten when I finally learned what to do, that I decided to leave my very, very lucrative career in computers back when that was a lucrative career position and women in computers were rare and they paid us a lot of money. And we didn't outsource to India back then. So I left that career and I decided that I was going to do it differently and I was going to go back to school and I was going to figure out what degrees I needed and what studying I needed to do to be able to help people so that they didn't have to go through what I did.
Wow. I love hearing stories of people that changed their life, their career from one where it was all about surviving, just getting a paycheck, to one that actually is full of meaning, right?
Oh,
full of,
yeah.
of the purpose, reason that we're here.
Absolutely. Big purpose, huge purpose and passion for what I do. And, you know, my purpose is to prevent needless suffering. And, you know, after that, my both parents died suddenly, you know, within 2 years of each other of massive heart attacks. And nobody knew they had heart disease. They just keeled over. But nobody also talked to them about their diets, which were bad, their lifestyle, their, you know, their stress levels and their smoking. Nobody talked to them about that. And so that, like, that was right when I was beginning my career. And it just reaffirmed and made me even more strongly committed. And then in 2008, my younger sister got leukemia. And of course, she and the rest of the family thought I was a nutcase, thinking that, you know, nutrition had anything to do with health. She wouldn't listen to me. And she died 3 months later, you know, at 43 years old. And that at that point, I said, something's got to change. And then I got really mad at the system. Not just the fact that, okay, I want to help people, but I want to change the system. And how do I do that? And it, you know, it took a while. It was the early days of the internet. And I finally figured out that I could reach more people if I went online and then started teaching not only people who are suffering with their own health, but started teaching practitioners. And now we have a practitioner training program and we've trained hundreds of practitioners and we, in the art of holistic health, some of them already have that bent. They're, you know, coming from a health coach background. Some are nurses, some are MDs, some are DCs. And I have a whole curriculum, 2-year certification program, because I want to change the face of healthcare because people need to know that, and it's not just what you eat. It's a lot more than that, as you know, in doing this summit, right? It's about the thoughts you think, what you expose yourself to, the people you expose yourself to, your relationships, your fun factor in life. There's so many things that play into our health, and doctors need to know that. It's not about a deficiency of some medication that people are suffering from, right? They don't, it's not really that. I don't have an aspirin. I didn't have a Valium deficiency when I was suffering from my headaches, right? I didn't have a Prilosec deficiency when I had pain in my stomach. It wasn't that, but they didn't have the training or the philosophy to go down the path of what's really wrong, what's really going on here.
Yeah. It sounds like you learned early on that doctors basically don't learn much of anything about nutrition in med school.
No, they don't learn pretty much anything. You know, some of them learn what is vitamin C and what is vitamin B and what is protein and carb and fat, but they don't learn the clinical relevance of it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read somewhere that doctors in med school spend about, what was it, 2.5 hours total on nutrition. And I don't know how long on pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, years. But I read specifically like one course. It's the equivalent of one course, I think. 20 hours was about average that they had any nutritional education. 20 hours total over that whole year. And that's ridiculous. That's the equivalent to one semester course. and you don't learn. And again, it's the basic science of nutrition. It's not the clinical relevance of this is how you can help people by changing their diet. It's more the ABCs of, you know, this is what vitamin C does. This is what vitamin E does.
Yeah, and you would think that with the Hippocratic oath, that, you know, if they were actually caring about people's health and well-being, they would use that quote by Hippocrates that said, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." Right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they're about as far off from that as you can get.
Right. It just went down the path of a lot of pharmaceutical interventions and influence in the training that's received. And, you know, a lot of it is the people, the mentality of this for that and wanting a quick fix, right? And I don't think there's such a thing as a quick fix in healthcare. It's a matter of restoring balance is what the fix is. And that's what we do, teach, and have great success with people doing.
Yeah. Well, I think the way that our life typically goes, where we're too busy to pay attention to the smaller things, the bigger things, we're too busy dealing with the smaller things.
Yeah.
Especially medical doctors, when they go through med school and then to
residency and internship and
Right.
Yeah.
I think even Oprah was talking one time how the doctors, it's normal for them to go through 72 hours straight on call where they're just
beat them into the ground.
Super
so they
tired.
Don't have, they're exhausted. They're exhausted. And how can they actually be in a situation? They take what they're taught. They don't think through. Like if I'm taught this does this and this does that, I'm suddenly making connections. Oh, well, if that does that, then that does that. And if we combine this and it, I'm thinking through how in my knowledge of the body, and that's how I teach my practitioners to do, is to think it all through, not just to read and memorize like this for that, this for that, this for that. But, you know, when you're up for 72 hours straight, you just, I mean, what else can you do but memorize? You can't do much in the way of creative thinking. You know, to be fair, right? And then some of them do, and they question it, and then they move on, and they study functional medicine, and they get real results. And some of them get frustrated by being in practice for years and going, I'm tired of just maintaining and keeping these people alive. I'd like to actually see them get better, and what can we do? And they you know, join and learn functional medicine.
I've been so happy to see so many doctors making that transition.
Yeah.
That's what functional medicine is these days, right?
Well, it's about looking at the body as a function, not as a disease versus not disease. So it's looking at if somebody presents with a symptom, not what disease does that have? What box can I put them in so I know what drug to give them or surgery or whatever? It's more, okay, what does that mean about their function? Well, what could fatigue mean? Oh, it could be their blood sugar's out of balance. It could be that their thyroid's out of balance. It could be their adrenals. It could be a digestive issue. It could be an inflammatory condition somewhere that's exhausting them, an autoimmune thing. And you think about, okay, well, how do we figure out which it is? So there's a whole series of things that we look at, both in asking questions and in examining and in running tests to isolate, like, where is that imbalance? Oh, look, it has to do with their food. It has to do with they're eating foods that are completely devoid of nutrition. They don't have enough nutrients to be able to make energy, right? So there's all these different things. They're exposed to toxic fumes. They're painting, and they just painted their house or recarpeted their house, and they're breathing in this toxic stuff, which is exhausting their body's ability to handle it. So there's just functional medicine will look for a root cause. It'll look for, it's always asking the question, why? That's the question, why? Well, I have this symptom. Why? Well, why do you have that symptom? Why? 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 What could be going wrong in the physiology, biochemistry, to cause that? And how do we then restore balance so that it stops happening? So it's not like, oh, you have a headache. Instead of giving Tylenol, we'll give some herb. That's not the way it works, right? So it works differently. It works. Well, why do you have a headache? Is it vascular? Did you get hit in the head? Did you just eat foods that didn't sit well with you? Are you constipated? So you ask all those questions. And we're probably going off on a tangent, but I think that it's a really important thing for people to understand.
Yeah, the difference between just covering up symptoms and actually looking at the holistic view, what's really going on, what's causing this, the root cause.
Exactly.
And working to resolve that, because I don't believe that most people really want the quick fix. I think that that's what mainstream medicine pushes on us.
That's probably true. Yeah. It's probably true. It's like they've come to expect that. Like that's what they should be getting. You know, and when we work with people, you know, I work with people over the course of a year, right? And I say, look, this thing didn't happen overnight. And we're restoring balance and little by little. And they're like, oh my God, suddenly the symptoms that they came in with are gone, but also all these other symptoms they didn't even realize were a problem, right? So and it's all about balance.
Yeah. Wow. So how do you begin to unravel the mysteries of what's going on in somebody's health? You just kind of start at the main symptoms and just kind of whittle your way down until you get to something that seems obvious that it doesn't belong, like gluten or too much caffeine or do you have a certain process where you kind of whittle that down?
I actually do, and I have this picture. I wish I could show you a picture. I have this picture, and I think of it as that the body is this. I have it listed as this pyramid and these pillars that hold it up. And the pillars are our habits, our lifestyle habits, our foundational habits. What do we do for managing stress? And what's our stress like on us? Well, how's our attitude? How much sleep are we getting? What's the nutrition like? What's the movement, fitness like? What about environmental exposures? And how much fun are you having? And I feel like those are the pillars that hold up the rest of the body. And then the body systems are layered on top of that. And what I tell people is if somebody comes in like with hot flashes, a woman comes in with hot flashes, the typical medical approach would be, oh, you have hot flashes. Let's test your hormones. Oh, you probably have hormones out of balance. Here's some hormone replacement therapy, right? And if they don't get well with that, they'll also throw on the anti-anxiety medication and whatever else is needed for the symptoms.
Which all have side effects.
Right, which all have side effects. So that's one way of looking at it. My way of looking at it is, why are there hot flashes? What's causing it? Is it an imbalance of sex hormones? Probably. Okay, so why is there an imbalance of sex hormones? It's not just because she's 50 and going through menopause, because that's not the natural flow. That's an unnatural flow. So why are we having hot flashes? Well, what's out of balance? Well, I look at the body as this pyramid. So I look at digestion as the core, at the basis. Like if people aren't digesting well, they're not getting the nutrients they need for all the other body systems to work. And plus they're producing toxins in their digestive tract, which is impacting the rest of the body. So I would say, let's look beyond that, but behind that. But right below sex hormones in my pyramid is adrenal dysfunction. And what people don't realize is when people are burned out and they're running away from tigers 24/7 because their boss is on them and they have financial problems and their kids, whatever, elderly parents that are ill. All of those things are stressors on the system which burn out the glands called the adrenals. Well, those adrenal hormones, when you're making all those adrenal hormones to try to deal with the stress, they use the same building block hormones as the sex hormones. So which do you think your body's going to prefer, you know, to kind of give priority to? You're being chased by a tiger, so you need to make cortisol, one of the adrenal hormones. Or there's a cute guy walking by or gal walking by, and you think they're hot. Like, which is your body going to prioritize? So the sex hormones diminish to allow for precursors for the adrenal hormones to keep you alive. And so people go,
it's going to go the other way.
Oh, no. Yeah, you do that and then forget it. You don't need to deal with it because a tiger eats you, right? You go after, yeah. So that's the point. People are going, I have low sex drive. My sex hormones are out of balance. I have PMS. I have, you know, erectile dysfunction, menopausal symptoms. Well, what caused them? It's not a deficiency of medication, Viagra or something, right? There's something underlying it. And what can cause that adrenal? Well, yeah, there's all the stresses and you have to deal with that. And what can cause that also is blood sugar swinging out of control because you're eating sugar and white flour and bagels and pasta and breads and all this stuff all day long. And the candy bar when the energy flops at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you need to make it home. And so the blood sugar is out of balance, and that contributes to the adrenals being out of balance, which contributes to the sex hormones. But if you also have this gut infection, or you're not chewing your food, or you're eating gluten like you mentioned earlier, or you're eating foods that you're allergic to in some other way, or you're just eating processed junk foods that don't have nutrition, well, the digestion is not going to work properly, and that's going to impact everything else in the body. So that's my way of doing it. I go through a very systematic approach of looking at and asking questions about all these different areas, and then we start with whatever's out of balance, the lowest in my pyramid. And usually we're dealing with lifestyle habits. Most people don't have good lifestyle habits. We're dealing with digestive stuff first, foundations and digestion.
So people have to change the way they eat if they want to actually get better.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, they don't want to hear that. But yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think some do. I think the ones that are actually serious about changing, about getting healthy, will be willing. But the sad thing is that I think for most, or at least many people, it takes some sort of trigger, which might be in the form of a more adverse health issue.
Right. That's what happened for me. Fortunately, I really am thankful that I was 25 when my wake-up call happened. So I only had 25 years of abuse on my body to reverse. A lot of people don't, you know, their body is more resilient, and it just keeps holding on. And then it's not until they're 45 that they develop symptoms, or 50. And they've had 45 or 50 years of abuse. And then the diseases are more serious than, you know, stomach issues and headaches and depression or whatever. It, you know, sometimes it's cancer, or it's like my parents' sudden death from heart attack, or my sister, lymphoma, which killed her. So they didn't have that wake-up call that was dramatic enough. Well, maybe they did, and they just said, okay, I'll just keep taking the medication. Maybe there's just something inherent in me that said, enough's enough. This is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And then I, you know, it just, that was my pivotal point, like you called it, that I woke up and went, oh, no, there's something wrong here. And other people don't have that, right? So it's really a matter of it's waking up to the call and saying, wait a minute, enough's enough. I really don't want to continue. And I remember having the thought, oh, my God, if this is what I'm at 25 and on all these medications and nobody knows what's wrong with me, what am I going to be like when I'm 50? Am I going to be like in a wheelchair or something, or walking with a cane? And I thought, no. So I made it a point that when I turned 50, the year I turned 50, I did a marathon. And it was like, okay, I'm not going to be that person in the wheelchair. I'm going to be out there running a marathon.
Wow, going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went through a weekend workshop years ago, over a decade ago, and I look young already, and so I probably looked really young then. And there were a couple of nurses that came and sat down at the table next to me and said, what are you doing here? You're way too young to care about this stuff. And I was like, wow, they're so misinformed. This affects all of us.
Yeah.
If I want to prevent having to deal with those issues later and have people like them taking care of me, I'm going to be smart and learn about it now.
Now, exactly. It's so much easier to prevent something from breaking than to fix it. And we do that with our cars, right? People take in for the oil change and the tire rotation, and they do it with the dogs. You take the dog in and get them, you know, checked out and groomed and all. But what about us? We don't do that, right? We just wait till we break, and then we go to the doctor and hope they could fix us. And unfortunately, the statistics with heart disease and cancer are not pretty. And I personally don't want to wait. I lost too many family members to cancer and heart disease that I don't want to go down that path. I'm intending to be, you know, vibrant and alive and active and running until, you know, well into my hundreds, if not two.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I've been feeling for years that I'm going to live to be at least 110. And one of the things that came to mind is, Well, if that's true, I better take really good care of this body because I don't want to be miserable and suffering that whole time.
No, that's totally right. And I remember distinctly once I got all this information and said, okay, I'm making this shift. I remember thinking, wow, you know, that was before genetics were things we could actually study and look at. You know, it was a science project in school.
Yeah.
And I would go, I must have really bad genes because, like, there's no old people in my family. Like, they all die before they get old. So I don't even know what old people look like. Do they get gray hair? Do they, you know, they don't get old. They just die. And I'm like, wow, I don't want that. I must have really bad genes. So I'm just going to be pristine. I'm not taking a chance. I'm not going to say, well, every now and then I can have some M&Ms and ice cream. No, I just said, forget it. I'm not doing that anymore. And it's paid
that
off.
That took a lot of strength.
It did, yeah. But it's paid off, and every day I'm grateful for that. You know, I turned 60 a couple of months ago, and on my 60th birthday, I did 100 push-ups. So,
whoa.
You know, not bad, right?
Sound like yeah. A sharp cookie for your age.
Well, my age is young. It's young, you know. I don't think of myself even as middle-aged. Middle-aged is when my life is half over, and I don't intend that my life is half over yet. So. Yeah,
great.
And we
wow,
have
so
that ability.
It sounds like, yeah, and it sounds like there's a couple main themes in that. If I could throw in there, I think is stress and blood sugar levels. Is that
those are
accurate?
Big? Those are huge. Those are huge. You know, and you know the digestion, of course, is super important as well. But I think a lot of the things that affect the digestion are the same things that throw our blood sugar off. So I really love working with people on their blood sugar balance because, I mean, I've had people come in with, like, blood sugars that they were pre-diabetic, and the doctor said, oh, well, we don't know what to do. Come back when you're diabetic and we'll put you on meds. And they were like, really? Is that what you want? And they started, of course, doing a Google search because now we can do that, not like when I was sick, and found me and went through my blood sugar balancing program. And she didn't tell me at the time when she went through the program that she also had Hashimoto's, that she had panhypopituitarism, was on medication for hypertension, and also had had a couple of joints replaced. Hip and knee. And she's 65 at the time, and she didn't tell me all that stuff. But what she did tell me was a few months later, like 4 months later, after she'd lost 75 pounds and had her blood sugar perfectly normalized, that when she went back to the doctor to get all examined, the doctor said, this isn't you. She was a new doctor. This can't be you. This chart doesn't look like you anymore. So she said, get off all your medication. Let's see if you need it all. Got off all her medication and went back in a month. Then the doctor retested her and said, you don't need any of this medication. You're perfectly fine. Go home.
Wow.
Her Hashimoto's went away. Her hypertension, her adrenals worked out. Her pituitary worked out. And now she's 71, has lost 110 pounds, maintains perfect blood sugar, and active and healthy, happy. That's
wow.
That's the kind of change you can have. Even, you know, it doesn't mean you have to do it when you're 25 or 35, even at 65, which I used to think
so
was
not
a
magic. Right. So not a magic pill that all of a sudden fixed everything, but
no.
Changing some habits that brought the stress
right.
levels down.
Right.
Yeah. Can you talk
she did
about
her
some
mini
of that?
Vacations? Yeah. So she, one of the things I have people do, you know, in addition to all the diet stuff, which I can talk about too, but is stress. The stress is critical because every time you get stressed out, it raises levels of a hormone called cortisol. Every time you raise cortisol, it causes your muscles, your protein tissue in your body to be broken down to make sugar so you can run away from tigers. Your body doesn't know the difference between you sitting at your desk stewing about something and a tiger chasing you, so it prepares you to run away from tigers. Unfortunately, all of those things that happen as a result in your body are damaging. It damages your digestion, it can raise your blood pressure, and it also raises your blood sugar, which can lead to a condition called insulin resistance. So we teach people how to get that, how to get the stress under control. Because no matter how well you eat, if you're continuing to get stressed, it's like you're eating candy bars all day. And I literally have seen it happen. I call it the candy bar eating effect of stress. When you produce that much cortisol, your blood sugar goes up as high as you ate a candy bar, as if you ate a candy bar, but you don't get the pleasure of eating the candy bar. What's up with that? Like, okay, my blood sugar is 150, but I didn't even get to enjoy the candy bar. I'm just yelling at somebody. It's crazy. Right? So I teach people, a technique I developed from the Institute of Heart Math called, I call it a mini vacation. And I just have people, you know, do some breathing and appreciation and take themselves away and trick the body into thinking, you know, you're laying on the beach or up in the mountains or, you know, just in some way away from the situation. And it completely shifts the body mode and it completely drops those cortisol levels. And it's a phenomenal technique. And I love that.
Wow. How does that work? How does that, if you meditate for a minute or 5 minutes, how does that offset the rest of the day?
Well, you have to do it a lot if you're getting stressed out all the day. So you have to alternate it. But what happens is you're in this stressful situation, right? So you're all stressed out and you're in what's the part of your nervous system called sympathetic, right? Fight, flight mode. And where all the healing happens is the parasympathetic. And that's where you go when you meditate or do this, the heart math or the mini vacations. And you want to shift yourself into parasympathetic so you can digest, so you can sleep, so you can heal. And so what happens when you activate diaphragmatic breathing, which is part of this process, you activate the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is part of the parasympathetic nervous system. So that immediately shifts you into this parasympathetic state and reduces the cortisol, reduces the effects of cortisol. It's pretty amazing. Raises the levels of DHEA, which is a natural balancing hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So what you've got an offer. What can you talk to us about your offer, your product offering here?
Yeah.
I think it has some of the stuff built into it. Can you talk about some of that?
Absolutely. You know, so I have a program. It's like a 3-month program for helping people balance their blood sugar. And we take people through the process of balancing all those things that are required, not just the food. The food is critical, but the stress and the sleep and the timing and the exercise. This product, this little product that I have put together is it's taken from there. There's a video that explains the whole process, talks about insulin resistance, talks about how you know if it's a problem for you. And then there's a 30-day menu plan that also has like a snack attack strategy and grab and go. So if you're on the run, you can make good foods. All these about foods that are going to balance your blood sugars. And it talks about some of the process of eating, not just what you eat, but how you eat. So facilitating digestion through good eating. So it's in that menu plan. And then with that is a big 250-page recipe guide that you follow. And there's all the recipes. You follow the menu plans. You also follow the processes. It's laid out in the video that tells you the other things like the stress and the sleep and the timing. And you follow that for 30 days. And it's miraculous what that can do by following that for 30 days. It can. Actually, I've seen people reverse their insulin resistance. It depends on how long it's been there. But I've seen diabetics do that program and have their blood sugar be off the charts and bring it down into the normal range in that 30 days. You know, you have to do the program.
Type 2s.
Yeah, type 1s are a little trickier. They have to work with things a little bit longer. They're on insulin, but I've had type 1s where they dramatically reduced. And I've seen type 1s get off of it completely or get it down to very, very little. And that's a different process because there's a big autoimmune component with type 1 diabetes. But the stuff that we work on in here helps to bring down the inflammation and the cross-reactivity that affects the autoimmune attack on the pancreas.
Wow. That sounds amazing, especially for anyone that's worried about their blood sugar levels and feels. Can you say real quick what are some of the symptoms of what somebody might be experiencing if they've got blood sugar levels that kind of roller coaster up and down?
Yeah. Well, number one is brain fog, like you're foggy brained because your brain just isn't getting the right level of sugar and nutrition. Fatigue, exhaustion, just like, I can't get up out of bed. I don't want to get up. Now, that could be caused by a lot of different things. But the combination of those with excess belly fat, especially in a thinner person who doesn't really have a lot of fat on their body, but it's all around the middle, that's a sign of it. The energy slump at 4 in the afternoon, like you're doing fine all day and then suddenly it's slumped right at 4 in the afternoon. the craving for sugar even after you've eaten a whole meal. You just have to have something sweet. You have to have some dessert after that meal. That's a huge sign of it, right? And then that irritability and crankiness if you miss a meal. That's another possible sign. So a lot of different things, yeah.
Wow, okay. I think that helps to get a picture of who could benefit from your package.
Right.
Do you have some sort of a process that you could walk us through that might be helpful?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean in terms of the stress management process?
Yeah.
The one I talked to you about before, like the mini vacation. We could go through that. I would love to do that. I do this all day long, actually. So we're going to take a mini vacation, okay? So what I want you to do is, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're not, and you can, close your eyes. It gets you nice. So you close your eyes. I like you to put one hand over your heart and the other hand over your belly, just so you can really tune into that, the breathing. And then take some long, slow, deep breaths in, like really deep, like you're filling. It's diaphragmatic breathing. You're pushing your belly out so all that air can get pushed down. And as you're breathing in, when you get to that full lung capacity, hold it for a few seconds. Just really hold it. And then exhale fully and deeply. And even when you feel like you've exhaled all your air, go just a little bit further to exhale it all completely. And then you do a couple of those breaths and focus on your heart. Your hand is over your heart. Focus your attention there on your heart. You know, and breathe like you're breathing into your heart. You're breathing in some fresh oxygen and light and air that is going to soothe your body, nourish your body. And then on the next breath in, think about a place, a person, an event, some place where you feel safe and happy and relaxed. It might be a trip to the beach. It might be a walk in the forest. It might be just going out into your garden and smelling some roses, holding a child or a pet in your arms. But just go there in your imagination. And I call it a full body visualization, where you're smelling the smells and hearing the sounds and seeing the beauty and feeling the sensations on your skin and even tasting. For me, I go to the beach, and the beach is easy when you're in the water to have all those sensations, right? The water and the sun on your skin and the salt water in your mouth, the taste of that, the sound of the waves crashing, the seagulls and kids playing if there's kids there. You know, the sight is gorgeous, right? Everything, the smells, the salt smell. So for me, it's very easy to bring that back. And when you bring it back, you trick your central nervous system into thinking you're really there. And when you're in a place where you're relaxed and happy, you get this feeling in your body, and you generate what I call a chemical soup, biochemical soup of joy and happiness is healing. It's healing. So just stay with that. Just breathe a few more times in that beautiful place. Allow yourself to feel a deep sense of appreciation. And then when you're ready, you can just come back, but feel what you're feeling. Notice what you're feeling. Is it peace? Is it calm? Is it joy? And hold that and maintain that feeling for as long as you can. And yes, you're going to get caught up in the next activity you have to do. But the more you practice this, the easier it becomes to just slip into it. And I can get in there in one breath. I just have to just think it, one breath, and I'm there. And the more you practice, the easier it is to take these little mini vacations throughout your day.
That was nice. I got to go back to Hawaii over on the Hawaii side.
Nice.
And watch the kite surfers while smelling the plumeria growing on the close by trees. The smell of plumeria, I just love.
I love that. I'm actually going to Hawaii soon, so I'm excited about smelling plumeria again.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Thank you for walking us through that. It was great for me.
You're welcome. Yeah, me too. I like to take people through it because it helps me to go there more often.
Yeah, no kidding. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how often would you encourage people to do this throughout the day?
Well, my minimum recommendation is before you get out of bed in the morning, just take a few seconds, a couple of minutes before you get out of bed. It sets the tone for the day. Right before you go to sleep, because it can really help with sleep. And then before each time you eat. And that will help with your digestion. If you want to do it more, great. But like if you anchor it to those times, it's like grace before meals, you know. You can do your typical, you could actually incorporate the deep breathing with the grace before meals. We did that when we were kids, but we didn't do the deep breathing. And that deep breathing activates the parasympathetics. So that's what I recommend.
That's great. And then how long do you do? Do you... really difficult, challenging 20 minutes each, or do you have a recommendation as like 1 minute or 5 minutes or what?
You know, as long as it takes. So the more you do it, the shorter it gets because you can quickly shift yourself. So I can do it in less than a minute. You know, when you're first starting out, maybe you're doing two or three. If you want to once, a couple of times a week, you know, one of the times when you're in bed, you can do it for 10. But usually just a couple minutes is fine. It's one of those, like, it's very economical time-wise. When people say, I don't have time. Well, I don't have time to meditate an hour twice a day, but I do have time to do 2 minutes of heart math five times a day. That's nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say heart math, is that a certain way of doing it, or is that just...
Yeah, I mean, I've changed it a little bit, but I took it from heart math, which is heartmath.org. You can go there and learn more about it. They call it quick coherence, and they have other techniques that you can use in combination with it, right? There's longer techniques. There's the technique you use when you're right in the middle of that stressful situation. But that one's a hard one to do unless you've practiced it. These little mini vacations, yeah. Practiced it when you weren't being chased by a tiger.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. So could you talk about your offer a little more? Maybe even give us a little more detail.
Sure.
So people, the listeners will have a better idea of what's in there.
Yeah, it's a blood sugar balancing 30-day meal makeover. And it's a great way to get started with balancing your blood sugar. We have a long program that takes you through everything in a lot more detail, step by step, and has coaching with it. But this is just the piece of it that it's core. It's a core piece, right? It tells you exactly what to do for 30 days, what to eat for 30 days. The video describes this whole process of insulin resistance and how you get away from it and what the other strategies are with the stress and the sleep and the timing and all. And then you've got this menu plan, which there are 30 days of menus if you want to follow the exact. Or there's the DIY? How do you say that? Do your own. Do it yourself. DIY.
Do it yourself,
right? Where you you can actually just look in the 250-page recipe guide and then put it in the plan, and you can just, you know, do it yourself. And if you follow that plan, the results are phenomenal. And we teach in the longer program how to actually test your blood sugars and determine which foods are best for you and which foods to stay away from based on your blood sugars. But this booklet is set up so that just about everybody can eat anything in that book. If you want to eat things that are, you know, a little bit sweeter, a little bit different, outside of that, after the 30 days, then it's a good idea to get a blood sugar meter and learn how to actually test your blood sugars.
This sounds like a great taster, a great intro to kind of start playing with it and see, like, is this something that's affecting me? What are some of the benefits that people might happen to experience in the first 30 days or so?
Increased energy, loss of belly fat, reduction of brain fog, clearer thinking. Some people, it's joy, relaxation, freedom from food, cravings go away. We talk about some of the supplements to take, and that's in the video part. You talk about some of the supplements to take in addition to help with the cravings, because we've created an imbalance in the body from too much sugar and starch and all. And those supplements, I call them the craving crusher supplements. And when people start with that and, you know, some essential oils and a few supplements, it's miraculous what people see. And no guarantees, right? Everybody's different, right? That old disclaimer thing. This is not to substitute for medical advice. If you're on diabetic medication, absolutely must talk to your doctor before you start this, because your need for that medication is almost certainly going to go down, and you don't want to get into a situation where your blood sugar is way too low. So you tell your doctor, I'm working on this. And if you're on medication, you're obviously testing your blood sugar already, and you just watch. And then if it starts to go too low, you go to your doctor and say, hey, can we get rid of or decrease this medication? I've seen it happen over and over. People dump their medication, usually pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds like a super helpful package for a lot of people. I know even for me, I wonder sometimes about sugar cravings and if I'm eating too much sugar or if I'm okay, and if I, you know, get up in the morning, don't eat breakfast soon enough and start feeling lightheaded, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this could be a handy package for a lot of people. I know, because I'm one that thinks of myself as being really health conscious, and mm-hmm. a lot of people that have seen me eat think the same. They're like, wow, you're one of those uber healthy people, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, but
you know, it's interesting you say that, because there are, I've been super uber healthy eater for many, many years. And when I started to teach these programs, and I wanted to create a video to show people how to test their blood sugar, show them it's no big deal. And I got my meter and I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to try it before I eat and then after I eat. And I tested it before, and it was a really nice level where I like to keep it. And I tested it after I ate a bowl of pineapple, fresh organic pineapple. And by 15 minutes after I'd eaten it, my blood sugar had risen to 135. And by the time about 45 minutes rolled around, it had risen to 167. And I was floored. I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, those are diabetic level numbers. What the heck is going on? So I started to do the inventory. There's five key components I teach in my program. There's the stress. And I had control of that. I was doing really well with that because I know my mini vacations. I do them all the time. And then there's the diet. And I was doing really well, I thought, with the diet. The fitness. And I was exercising regularly. And timing. I was avoiding eating too late close to bed. Although occasionally I would eat too close to bed, but that's one of my things. And I usually spread my meals out. I wasn't eating them too close together. And the last one was sleep. And I realized that I had been fooling myself into thinking I didn't need as much sleep as everybody else. And I was just having so much fun working that I was sleeping 3, 4, 5 hours a night regularly.
Oh, no.
Regularly. And I was like, can that really be throwing off my blood sugar and creating this insulin resistance problem? So I start researching even more. And I find all these articles that say even one night of bad sleep can cause insulin resistance in a healthy person. You know, of course, if you get a good night's sleep the next night, it's going to go back. But that day, if you've got a day where you can't sleep and you are up, you've got a family emergency, whatever, watch what you eat so carefully the next day, because you're not going to handle sugar well at all. And so I realized that that was my issue, and I had to really start working on it. And I also had to, you know, stop eating some of the foods that were raising it for a while. And now I'm introducing some of those back in. But like even just sweet fruits like pineapple and banana and mango and things like that, couldn't eat those for the longest time, which was fine with me. And now I can introduce it back. But I had to reset my body. We call it the metabolic reset.
Wow.
Yeah. So even if you're eating really well, it may not be exactly the right for you. There may be other factors that are causing the food not to sit right for you. So it's just to keep that in mind.
That's great. Thanks so much for everything that you're doing for the world and for bringing this to the summit and being on the summit.
Thank you.
yeah, thank you. Just wanted to say to the listeners, if you're listening to us live, you can check out earthiswakingup.com/now, or if you're checking out the recording later on, you can look at earthiswakingup.com/Rita, and it should forward you to her sales page, Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo, and just click through the links to check out the package. And I hope that this is something that comes in handy for a lot of people. I love that it's something that people can check out to kind of evaluate. It's low enough cost that it's it's worth checking out to see, do I have this issue? Is this something I need to investigate and look into further, change my eating habits? And how will this affect my health now and years down the road? This could be like one of those forks in the road where it could be the difference between living to be 65 or 165, right?
Mm-hmm.
How early, right? Because our blood sugar has so much to do with our health and longevity. So I encourage people, if you're curious or having blood sugar levels that you already know about, this might be a great way to look into it and get an idea before having to go into some crazy big mainstream medical doctor who wants to run all these tests and scare the crap out of you and tell you need these different drugs. And let's take health into our own hands and empower ourselves with helpful tools and do some research on our own and see what we can do to really take charge of our own health and our own lives. Do you have any more closing comments on that?
No, that was great. I think, you know, just really to know that the inner healer is in you. The healer is in you. It's not out there. There's no drug or doctor that's going to heal you. Even, you know, as a functional medicine practitioner, I'm there to guide you and to activate and empower your own inner healer and get you out of the way. That's the thing, because it's hard to see where you're in your own way and removing those boulders that are keeping your inner healer from being able to really have you just flourish. And not flourish, you know. I guess flourish is the word. Thrive is the word, you know. Thrive is vibrant and healthy and not have a need. My big goal is to have people not have a need for having to go to the doctor because they just know how to take it. Be your own doctor. That's what, was it Thomas Edison that said that? The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest the patient or educate the patient in the care and the feeding of the human body. That was Thomas Edison. Yep.
I read one of his books. It was amazing. I couldn't put it down for 2 days. I read right through it. I think it was Thomas Jefferson Education. all about educating and empowering ourselves outside of the mainstream educational system. That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story, yes. We can get into that. Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Best wishes to all the listeners and all on your health journeys. Thanks again. Much love.